Behind every song is a voice, and every voice is a story. The journeys behind the voices brings life to the music that shapes each of us. Brought to you by Visible Music College and in partnership with the largest online Christian music site, New Release Today. This is Behind the Tunes, and I am your host, Austin Black. Together, we will explore those journeys, the journeys behind the artists that shape the landscape of today's music.
We're today on Behind the Tunes from the Visible Music College Studios with Aaron Schust. Learn all about him at aaronschust.com. Aaron, thanks for being here today, man.
Thank you, Austin. Glad to be on.
Well, even pre-show, you and I have already had enough of a conversation that that's worth our time, I hope, already. We look forward to sharing that with people as it comes along. But so thank
props,
you.
Props to you for being prepared and hitting record just in case.
That's right. Well, I was reading up on you, and you're a Pittsburgh guy by kind of a native. Is that right?
Oh yeah. How's that make you feel?
I'm pumped about it because I've never had a Pittsburghian.
Yeah, right. I'm Pittsburgh. Yeah, Yinzer is what we call ourselves, but I don't really say it. Well, and that goes back to the Appalachian influence from, you know, West Virginia. It comes from U1s instead of you all in the South. U1s. And over time that turned into yins. It's not attractive. I think year after year, we often win worst accent of the nation. So, but my mom grew up in Florida. My dad was in sales in American Airlines. So he had to have his non-regional diction. So I don't have it too badly. Yeah. And I've been living in the South for a minute as well.
All right. So you're kind of a melting pot there.
Yeah. My friends in the North think I sound from the South and vice versa.
I did a little study on Pittsburgh. And since you're my first Yinzen,
Pittsburghian, well, that works. Sure.
I'm writing Yinzer down because I'm going to learn this. I'm going to get it. I'm leaving today with a little extra knowledge in my brain. And so I looked up some stuff about Pittsburgh.
Okay. What you got?
So here's a couple of things. Did you know emojis were invented by somebody in Pittsburgh in 1980?
I did not. In 1980? That's even more shocking.
That's right. Well, I'm always shocked that like these things that feel so new and current of like they were, many of them were invented like a long time ago.
I bet it was just like the colon and the parentheses. Like that Something was the like emoji that. In 1980 because they didn't That's have like the little graphics that we do now. Right.
But a Yinzer gave it to us. It was born black from a Yinzer.
Which is funny because most of my Pittsburgh friends are the ones who never use them. And I'm the more emotive and I'm like smiley face. And they're like, just, you know, periods. I use an exclamation at the end of like every sentence. I'm not an all caps guy. Yeah. I don't do that. I have my limits.
Some self-respect. Well, tell your Pittsburgh friends to get with it. It's their native tongue.
Right.
Yeah. Well, another thing is there are more than 700 steps of public stairs. Okay. Did you know, like thinking back to Pittsburgh, are there a lot of stairs there?
Well, there's a lot of mountains. There's a lot of, or as we would say, mountains. And that's a little, you know, little Yinzer accent, right? The little mountains everywhere. So I know we have, you get the three rivers. Anytime you watch a football game, Monday Night Football, Sunday Football, someone's going to say something about the confluence. Yeah. No one uses that word ever unless you're watching a Pittsburgh Steelers football game. It's the confluence of the three rivers, but there's a lot of mountains, and more bridges than Paris. So I hear, speaking of Paris,
I did see
the Olympics, more bridges in Pittsburgh.
Well, the steps, this is the point that really, this is the reason I wrote it down, is they're maintained by an inspector of steps. That's not his job. How'd he get that job?
He got fired from the emoji making job, probably.
If that's your job, do you tell people that's your job? What do you do for work? I inspect steps.
Not the maker, the inspector. That's important because I imagine
it is important.
Landslides and snow and that salt that they, you know, sprinkle, that can get dangerous. Ice, I don't know. It can cause damage over there. It's important to have good, strong steps.
I'm just curious what it pays. I'm interested. In 1967, the Big Mac was invented in Pittsburgh.
Come on, this I knew. This I knew.
Yeah.
Yes. And Heinz ketchup, they come together
Oh, that's
closely.
right.
Heinz was around longer, but we yeah, the Big Mac, we claim it.
Yeah, a franchisee is the one that invented. You think those things come from the top or something? No, it's just some guy throwing a couple extra patties on there and calling it a Big Mac.
Yeah, that's what it is, I guess. I'm not sure if the special sauce had anything to do with it yet,
Yeah.
but yeah, the extra patty in the middle.
And then last but not least, from 1891 to 1911, it was spelled without the H at the end. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that. Yeah,
Do you know why?
peer pressure, I think, because initially I don't know why it initially had the H, but I knew that like everybody else, all the other Bergs, which is a German for city, if I'm not mistaken, that was just the G, and so we joined. I think there was one sign left. When I say sign, I mean like one of those carved into the block in the corner of some building that was built in that era that actually says Pittsburgh without the H. It's one of the most common mistakes when I see people write, whatever, he's from Pittsburgh, or they'll drop the H. And I, growing up there, the word Berg has to have an H. It's just the shape. You got the high B and then the G drops down, the H goes up. That's what Berg looks like. And so when I see it without the H, it looks like someone forgot a letter. But yeah, for a minute, to use that term again, we
I
had no
love
H.
it. It was a wrestling match. So incredible. So listen, everybody, you guys are welcome. And thank you, Pittsburgh, for these fun facts. And we're
Thank
grateful
you.
for them.
How many times can you hear the same lie before you start to believe it? The enemy keeps whispering to me, swear these days it's all that I'm hearing. I used to know who I was, now I look in the mirror and I'm not so sure. Lord, I don't want to listen to the lies anymore. The truth is I am my father's child. I make him proud and I make so much noise living rent-free in my head. Heaven finds me in a still small voice, and it sounds like grace instead. You remind me who I am when I look in the mirror, and I'm not so sure. Lord, I don't want to listen to the lies. The truth is, I am my father's child. I make him proud and I make him smile. I was made in the image of a perfect king. He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. The truth is, I am truly. That's true.
Aaron Shoestone behind the tunes from the Visible Music College Studios. Aaron, Pittsburgh's fun to talk about. That's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to hear your story a little bit. What got
Music.
You into music to begin with?
To begin with, it was my mom's love for music. My mom, I have to start with her. She came to faith when she was 12 years old, took herself to church in an unchurched family, and was loved there, and she just fell in love with it. And someone gave her a hymnal when she was 12, and she brought it home. And I don't know how you learn to play music when you don't know what you're looking at on a page, but she did. And she taught herself how to play piano via a hymnal. And loved music, always playing the piano when I grew up. And she was we had a small church, about 100 people. And she was in charge of the music, in that she, played the piano when people walked in, told the organist that, I think I remember them getting together on like Saturday mornings or Friday mornings to like practice the hymns they would play for what do you call the introduction back in old church terminology? Like there was a special word for it. But they would play together, and she'd pick the music for the choir, et cetera. Even led the kids' choirs, which is probably my direct involvement. Oh, and solos. That's another thing. It was always like back in the day, there was special music. And so Sunday evenings, would be relegated for, carols for the 4-year-old kid, 5-year-old kid. She put me up on stage. I'd, practice the song during the week. And I used to hold a turkey baster as a microphone to practice.
Good
to practice. So, she'd make sure I didn't, because back then, like people would wiggle. I'll hold my phone. They would like wiggle it, and they would grab that cable, and they would like, there's always performance things that we do. You don't know it until you look back, until either someone in the generation before you says, why do you do that? Or you look back later and like, why did I do that?
Right.
So we all have these little things that we don't know that we're doing yet, but that was back in the 80s. And anyhow, so I just grew up in the church, and I grew up with music always in the house, at church, and went to school. Yeah, at Toccoa Falls College, a private Christian school in Northeast Georgia. I studied music education. I wanted to be like, I remember seeing Michael W. Smith do a live concert on TV when I was 13. I'm like, that's cool. I mean, this guy loves Jesus. He plays piano like I do, and he's like making rock and roll music. And this dude is playing some Stratocaster. I didn't know what a Strat was, but it's like a pink Stratocaster. I'm like, that's amazing. This is so cool. So I wanted to do that, but there wasn't a degree for that. There was music ed. There was church music, which again, I'm not even sure what that was all covering back in the early 90s. I think it was pretty much know your hymns, learn how to conduct, learn how to conduct a choir, the church choir. Period. That's all we got. And then there was music performance, which was more like, singing operatic music, saying the Latin. And I took the music education course because it felt like the most logical to me. Like, I'm not sure what the future is going to hold, but doggone it, I'm going to graduate with a degree in music. I can teach. At least I can teach. So I went through that. I did my student teaching in Florida, didn't enjoy it. And I think the moment came when I realized, man, I could get placed in a job. I'm going to be taking that job away from somebody who would love it. Cause the teacher I was under loved it. She loved teaching high school chorus, and it drained me of all of my, potential energy. So I realized I could take a job, and I had like 3 offers that I could have been placed, and like, I'm going to be taking it away from somebody. So I decided to move on. I went back to my college town, started a band. And honestly, between the two things that happened during my college career that actually taught me more in the practical sense was I was involved in a singing group. There was 6 of us holding microphones, singing the tracks, or like we would program things into a piano and play them. We went around to 90 cities, 90 churches every summer to kind of represent the school, raise money for the school, but also to, minister to the people. Loading up in a 12-passenger van, setting up the 2 PVs on a stick and running sound check every afternoon, staying at people's houses, having conversations, the same conversations every single night with different people, letting them minister to us, giving us late night snacks, staying in their guest bedrooms, hitting the road again the next day. Just 3 years of hitting the road like that every summer. You learn a lot. You learn a lot about the road and interpersonal relationships with people that you're stuck with, AKA the band, and great relationship with great. It's early. Let me have another cup of coffee. Hold on.
Yeah, man. Good.
great relationships with people on the road, and then and the difficult relationships as well, and how to navigate those, and how to, as believers, how many times did I was just in my spirit, and I'll say it's the capital S spirit in me that would not let me take the stage if I were at odds with a brother or sister during the day. You know, these are the things they don't teach it. You guys might. I love what I'm seeing, what you're doing. But I was learning different things in school, but there was no way the spirit was going to let me take the stage and sing about the love of Jesus while I was at odds with my sister. So how many times did I have to knock on the dressing room and be like, hey, can we talk for a second? Listen, I'm so sorry for how I responded. You got to take ownership there. It doesn't matter the fact that I still thought I was right and I still thought she was wrong about whatever the issue was, but the way I handled it, poor, and I'm sorry. Yeah. Please forgive me. And then, you know, you hug and I still disagree with her and whatever. We still, we're not great friends, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can take the stage together. So anyhow, that goes to the education. You know, I graduated, got my degree, decided not to teach, started the band. It wasn't going to go very well, but it was a lot of fun. And took a job at a church leading worship in Atlanta, Georgia, at a Presbyterian church. And I was not Presbyterian, so there was this learning curve of theology whenever I hopped up on stage. And fast forward 20 years, there's very few pontifications that I will share from stage while leading worship. Sing the song, choose the song carefully, make sure the lyrics are legit. If you're going to say anything, stick to scripture. You know, it says in the book of Psalms, whatever, you know, sing to the Lord a new song. Clap your hands, all you people. I know you don't want to clap your hands. I know you don't want to sing a new song. Like I'm thinking right. That part. So I'm quoting scripture to encourage people to do the thing that we're called to do and then sing the song. Yeah. Because how many times have I been in worship and someone, you know, the worship leader's like, you know what? I just think that today we need to, and like, I'm out. I don't know what you're going to say next, but I'm out. Like, I want to worship the Lord and not, you know, so there's a time and a place for that. I'm jumping all over the place, the ADD inside of me.
I love it.
But the learning curve of the band that I started is probably what got me hired at the church. Yes, I had the degree. I had a music ed degree. I knew how to notate things. But I also had years of experience on the road dealing with people within the band and outside, you know, the vocal band then, but then the rock and roll band that we started, that was Christian. But there was songs about the spiritual life. There were songs about girls. It was just like, it was a hodgepodge. But man, hitting the road there, I'm being like, all right, so I wrote the song, but like, I'm thinking the drums need to come in on verse two. Bass, why don't you come in after that? What if the guitar was like bang, 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 like those kind of things helped prepare me as a worship leader, which was strange. And I'll close here. It was strange when I started doing that boots on the ground as a 22-year-old, 23-year-old, as an adult with the position of worship leader, telling 40-year-old expert guitar players to don't play on the second verse because they're great and they're older than me and they should be able to do what they want to. But like, as an adult with a job, it was my job to say, let's lay out, let's slow down, let's speed up. Let's not do a guitar solo in the middle of this worship song. Let's bring the lights down. Let's, you know, oh, we think it should be brighter. Like, okay. And there's a pushback and a ebb and flow. Anyhow, you learn a lot of stuff from unexpected places.
And it's incredible, and I can even look at back in my life how God just puts us in spots and puts us in situations, and is preparing us for stuff we don't even have a clue he's preparing us for.
Right. Yeah. And it's if you get too myopic, too nearsighted, and you say this is where I'm going, and God's been showing you or trying to show you and teaching you and taking you this way, and you're so hell bent on going this way, like you miss.
Yeah.
You know, I just always think of like the interruptions of Jesus while Jesus is walking to go heal Jairus's daughter is when the woman with the issue of blood touches his garment and he stops. Thank goodness he stops and turns and addresses this situation. And I think that was he was wide open to the Spirit's prompting and spent time in those desolate places every morning, getting downloads and direction from his Father. I want to be like that as well.
That's
obviously a divine moment and a miraculous moment, but sometimes things don't seem too divine and they don't seem too miraculous.
It's usually on the way to somewhere else.
It's usually on the way to somewhere else. Yeah, well said.
Even though I walk through the valley, sometimes it feels like I crawl through the valley. But I got a promise that I hold on tight to. I can't lose when I'm right beside you. Yeah, gotta know the plans you have for me when my cup is overflowing. So while I'm in the in between, I'ma live my life knowing if I get down, you pick me up. Coming to me, the devil tried to make me turn away. Cause even on my worst day, yeah, if I get down, you pick me up. I'ma live my life knowing if I get down. Times I got it so wrong, and a couple that I got it just right. I've seen the view from the top of the world, and the sorrow by the bitter graveside. I've seen some prayers get answered, and I've heard my share of no's, but there's never been a moment that you let me go. I've been uptown, I've been downtown, in the spot. From the school of hard knocks, but there's some lessons that I haven't quite learned. One thing I know is you've been so kind to me, sweeter than a man could ever deserve. Cause we got that love from up above, and if it's all we ever get, we got enough. Better hold on tight, yo, no matter what. We got that never gonna leave us kind of love. Got me counting a blessing or two. Those moments in time, the best in my life, they all come from you. I've been uptown, I've been downtown, in the spotlight, I've been face down. I see so much.